From the number of people you see doing Sudoku puzzles from the train or bus, it's fair to assume that there's a lot of interest in trying to delay or prevent the onset of dementia as we age. But maybe looking for a specific gene is what we really need to do to avoid cognitive decline. A huge study in Denmark followed over 100,000 people for up to 10 years to compare their risk of dementia with the various versions of a gene called APOE, I should say, that we might have been born with. Ruth Fricke-Schmidt is at the University of Copenhagen and was one of the researchers. Welcome to the Health Report, Professor Fricke-Schmidt.
Thank you very much.
So just tell us a bit about what we know about the APOE gene, since this is the cornerstone of your study.
Yeah. APOE is a well-known gene in dementia, actually also in cardiovascular disease. But APOE, a specific common variant that many of us carry, is actually has been known as a risk marker for dementia for many years, actually since 93. But our study here, we try to kind of make it a little bit more practical in order to include the genetics in with other risk factors. Here, it's just age and gender, to make it more applicable for risk estimation. So what we do is actually to try to identify groups in the general population that have a little bit higher risk than the population at large, because we want to kind of identify them so we can, in the future, target our prevention better and more efficient.
So let's just go back to the APOE gene, because everybody carries the APOE gene, but we don't all carry the same version of it. And it's only one version of it that's really associated with dementia and heart disease. That's the APOE4, the 4 version. Mm. And you get one dose from your mum and one dose from your dad. And if you get a double dose, that increases your risk even more.
That's right. And that's well known that this common variation, actually 3% of us, we have 2 copies, one from the mother and one from the father in our genome, and that kind of confers this higher risk. But 25% of us, we carry 1 copy, and we have also a little bit increased risk for both heart disease, actually, and dementia. But this is not so much different from other variation in the genome. You know, the entire variation is really what makes us different in risk estimations, both, you know, for our blood biomarkers and externally, you could say.
In terms of the environment and so on. So you look at a lot of different factors in these people in 2 different studies based in Copenhagen of the Danish population. So what did you find when you followed people through in different age groups relative to whether they were carrying 1 dose of the gene or 2 doses of the gene versus their age, their sex, smoking, diabetes, and all that sort of thing?
So if we look at sex first, we did divide it in women and men, because that's, of course, of interest with regard to risk estimation, because we have a different risk factor profile gender-wise. But even though it looks like there is a little bit increased risk in women, it's the same pattern in women and men. So we can say that with regard to age, of course, the risk increases as we get older, we know that, but also the risk for the specific genetic groups increase as we get older. So that's not surprising, you can say, but this is just, you know, to quantify it a bit more precisely.
So let's look at the double dose. Just give us a sense of the increased risk at different age groups in your 60s, in your 70s, and in your 80s.
So the double dose is, if you are in your 60s, it's around 6%. And then it doubles.
And a little bit more for women.
Decade. Yeah, a little bit more. But it's the same pattern. So I don't think we have the strength to say that it's really different from men. But it seems to kind of double as you go, jump a decade.
So it's about 16% when you're in your 70s. And fact, for all dementia, it's even higher. So it goes up, you know, it's 10, 20, and 40% in your 60s, 70s, and 80s for all dementia. So it's not just Alzheimer's disease that's increased by having the double dose.
No, it seems to be all dementia. But here we have to pay attention to that it's often very difficult to really discriminate between Alzheimer's and all dementia. There are mixed situations. So that's always a problem with these disease entities. So there will be, vascular components in Alzheimer's also, as there is in all dementia.
As you said, 3% of the population has the double dose. So it's not a lot of us, but it's significant. 25% have the single dose. When you've got the single dose, does that increase the risk by much?
Yeah, it does also. It's the same pattern again, but when you're in your 60s, it's only a 3% or something, and then it goes to 6% when you're in your 70s, and it goes to kind of 8 to 9% when you're above 80. So what we have to remember here is really the general idea with this, because you, of course, you can look into specific genetic variants and specific factors, but the important thing is here that we try to add the normal genetic variation to a risk factor, to an absolute 10-year risk estimation that is generally used in many other diseases. And so it's kind of to show that we probably need to take this into account to estimate the high-risk groups so we can test if
So the question,
target prevention really helps in these high-risk groups.
So the question here is, should governments fund this genetic test? Is the evidence for how to prevent dementia strong enough that you would fund this test and, and general practitioners should be doing it?
Yeah, not yet. We cannot use the genetic information yet. First, we have the evidence now from research, and what is the next step is to do randomized clinical trials of intervention, targeted intervention on these high groups to test if it really helps the high-risk groups, including the genetics, the most. I have hope for it because there have been very nice randomized clinical intervention trials, for instance, a Finnish study, the FINGER trial, that did address high-risk groups, you know, not based on genetics, but based on normal vascular risk factors, and saw that with a targeted intervention strategy, multi-domain strategy, there was positive findings. So that is the way to go to test if adding genetic risks will really help in a randomized clinical trial. Yeah, exactly. Before, so we are not there yet where we can advise that you should have taken a genetic test. Not at all. But we have the scientific foundation to proceed into testing it.
Ruth, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Ruth Fricker-Schmidt is Associate Research Professor in the Department of Clinical Medicine at the University of Copenhagen. And if you know what to know what you can do that's got some evidence, stop smoking, control your diabetes or don't get it in the first place, take exercise, learn a musical instrument or a language, Sudoku is probably a complete waste of time. You're listening to The Health Report here on RN, ABC News and CBC Radio across Canada.